I hope that my message is for all age groups, because I find that as I get older, I'm talking to people who don't know what I'm talking about. I just got I got change at a grocery store, and there was a penny, and I looked at the penny, and I said, "Wow, that's a wheat penny." And the checker said, it was a young girl, she said, "A wheat penny?" She said, "I thought they were always made out of copper." See what I mean? Okay. All right. The name of my message today is "Don't Cut Down the Fruit Trees." And if you would turn in your Bible, I'll read it. Deuteronomy 20, verse 19 and 20. You know, I always pray and ask God to show me exactly what He wants me to preach about. And, you know, some people would say, "Well, yeah, you know, how's God going to show you?" Well, God puts things in your life that are so obvious. This whole idea, and I'm sure, one thing I found out is that no matter whatever I preached on or designed or whatever it was, somebody already had done it 200 years ago. But this message about don't cut down the fruit trees, I use several Bibles, and I have this one that Cynthia bought me. It's the Henry Morris, KJV, Henry Morris Study Bible. And I don't use it that often, but I just bring it when I'm here so it looks good, because my other Bibles are falling apart. But I open the Bible, and what is in there but a picture of a fruit tree? I don't remember where it came from. I don't remember, but it was in the Bible. All right, so trees are important to God, and they're all over the Bible. Okay, so Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 19. And this is Moses stating the one of the rules of warfare. They're in the promised land. They are taking over the country from all these heathen tribes that are there. And Moses wrote down what the rules of warfare are. And I'm going to read you 19 and 20. "When thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down. For the tree of the field is man's life, to employ him in the siege." And verse 20, "Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee, and it until it be subdued." All right. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we have your words perfectly preserved for us, and that you know what we need to hear, Father. I know what I need to hear. And we ask for your blessing on this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So trees in the Bible, they're a symbol. Many times they're a symbol of wisdom, prosperity, life, growth, rebirth. And it's a tree is a living thing. You know, you can say a mountain shows the majesty of God or the sky, but a mountain isn't alive. A tree is alive. And God invented the tree. I mean, he was the one who invented it, designed it, and made all the different species. And a tree gives. A fruit tree gives you fruit. And what Moses is talking about here is that the soldiers, when they are besieging a city, an enemy city, they're not to cut down the fruit trees because they can eat the fruit from those trees. He says, cut down the trees that are non-fruit bearing and use that wood to build the bulwarks. Are we getting an echo in here? Yeah, we're getting an echo. to build the siege works against the town, the ladders and the fortifications that they make outside of the city to ultimately get inside the city, to break the gates down and get in. So it's no wonder why God uses trees. He invented them. And we have the first tree that's mentioned in the Bible is the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And then there is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the which is where Adam and Eve made a big mistake. This time of the year is the harvest time. And the farmer's market just opened in Scranton a few weeks ago. And there's an Amish market up on the Scranton-Carbondale Highway, open on Fridays. And all the farmers bring in all the harvest to sell. And bring all the fruit in. We have fruit trees. We have fruit trees in our yard, and I grew up with fruit trees. When I was a kid, we had a peach tree. It was a big peach tree. I used to eat peaches, and we had apricots and plums and all kinds of fruit on these trees, and that my grandmother had actually planted, or someone did before me. And these trees, we made apple cider from the trees. my grandmother had a pear tree. I used to go up there in September to pick the pears. That's when they got ripe, in September, and pick the pears, and she would can the fruit. My mother would can the fruit. We had all this fruit that we would pick and preserve. And you know, if you don't pick the fruit, it rots. The birds get it, the bugs get it, and or it just rots on the vine or on the tree. And we had an apricot tree. We bought it after we were married, and I always wanted another apricot tree to replace that one, because you see, fruit trees, they get old, they die. They don't live forever, they're like humans. And this fruit tree, it was about this high, it was an apricot tree. And we got it, first year, nothing. Second year, nothing, no fruit. And I called the guy that I bought it from, and he said, take a little knife and cut out a little patch on the bark about a half inch wide and about 2 inches long. Remove the bark. So I did it. Next spring, it was covered with buds. It was covered. And we had more apricots that year, made up for all the years previous. And I said, wow, finally, thank you. So the next year comes by, the tree died. In the spring, it was dead. There wasn't a bud, there was nothing, it was dead. Like that, just like that tree. What happened was, that tree had a piece of wire from the root ball when I bought it that got wrapped around the base of the tree. I never knew, you couldn't see it. And the tree started to grow over it, and that piece of wire was strangling that tree. And when I cut out that little patch, the tree, it was a wound, and the tree just produced fruit because it knew it was going to die. God made it that way. That tree had all those apricots on it because it knew it was going to die, and it put out all that fruit. So we had all the seeds, all the pits from those apricots to be able to plant other trees. My dad worked with a guy in a stone quarry, and this guy's wife always put a peach in his lunch. I used to see him. I was a little kid. I would go down there, and he had that old-fashioned lunchbox, the metal lunchbox. He'd open it up, and he had a big sandwich in there, and he had a peach, and he'd eat that peach, and he'd take the pit and fling it out in the rocks. And there's no dirt there. It's rocks. But I found out a few years later, here's peach trees coming up all over. They're growing in the rocks. I don't know if it was the heat or what it was, but there were peach trees everywhere. The point is this, that Moses said, don't cut down the fruit trees. When you get saved, when you put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become a fruit tree. And the gospel is the pit in that fruit that you produce when you give the gospel. Someone said to me, I can't give the gospel. I just can't. I can't remember. I get confused. I said, can you read? They said, yeah. I said, okay, just take a tract, and on the back side is the whole gospel. I said, read it to him. A couple weeks later, he said, I did it. He said, and the guy got saved. I said, see, you can do it. It's right there. There's no excuse for not giving the gospel. Hey, listen, I'm the type person that when I'm supposed to do something, I automatically don't want to do it. I don't know what that is. Maybe everybody has that problem. I don't know. But I have that problem. I'm supposed to do something, I don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. And I find that as I get older, is the more I don't want to do it. I was a township supervisor. It's going to be 45 years. It's going to be 45 years this January, I think. And I didn't run again. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do it. I did it long enough. 45 years is too long. What I want to be is I want to be a fruit tree. You know, Jesus, anywhere in the Bible, I can only find one place that Jesus harmed anything. And he was hungry one day, and he saw a fig tree. And he said, well, I can see the shape. You know, I can see the shape of a tree or the color in the distance. He said, oh boy, I'm going to have some figs. Well, he gets to the tree, and there's no fruit on it. So the Bible says he cursed the tree. And the disciples later said they walked by that tree and that tree was dead. It looked like this. No fruit. See, I don't use the communication system we have. I'm sorry. And if you can't see, you may need binoculars. But the tree didn't have any fruit. I don't know, but when I read that, I said, I don't want to be a fruit tree that doesn't produce fruit. I want to make sure that I'm producing fruit. And it was a wake-up call for me to see that. I want to be like this. I want to be a fruit tree that produces fruit. It's the harvest time, and there's two points to my message. Number one is plant fruit trees. Our son Greg planted fruit tree. I always talked about it. I tried to, But my trees died, and but Greg has planted fruit trees. We have fruit trees, apple trees, and peach trees, and mulberry trees, and pear trees, all kinds of trees. And when I was growing up, we had a tree, an apple tree, an old apple tree. It was huge. It was right where my office is, my conference room is. There's a building there now, but that tree got old and it died. But that tree had the most delicious yellow apples. I remember those, eating those apples. And I used to go to my grandfather's, and he had cherry trees, and my cousin and I would go up in a cherry tree and eat cherries until we got sick. And fruit was such a, would you just think about it, fruit has played a very important part of your life if you had a fruit tree. And I'm talking about a fruit tree, but you are the fruit tree. If you're saved, you are a fruit tree, and you need to produce fruit. I don't want to repeat what Jesus did to the tree that that didn't produce fruit. So we need to plant fruit trees. And how do you do that? You give the gospel. You plant that pit, that seed of the gospel. And Paul says you plant the seed, you sow the seed. He used, because they were talking about a grain. But nevertheless, you plant the seed. The person may not get saved at that time, but someone else comes along and they water the seed. They give the gospel again. And that person may get saved, maybe at the second or third time. I heard the gospel probably 10 times before I ever got saved. Some sow and some water, but God makes it grow. All we have to do is deliver the message. I used to get so caught up in giving the gospel and trying my hardest to save somebody, to convince them. And when I realized that all I have to do is deliver the message, deliver the message, and God will do the rest. That's all you have to do. There's no burden on your shoulders to go soul winning. There's no burden on your shoulders to give the gospel to somebody. And women have no excuse, because women can talk about anything. Cynthia and I were somewhere, I don't know where it was, and Cynthia was talking to this lady, and they were talking for a long time, and afterwards I said, "Who was that?" She said, "I don't know." But they were talking, they were communicating. Women are better communicators. Women have no excuse. I come home from a job and Cynthia says, "Well, how was it?" I say, "Good." One word. And Cynthia comes back and I ask her, "How was it?" And she tells me the whole thing. I get the whole story. So we need to plant that. We need to plant that. We need to plant fruit trees. Every time somebody gets saved that you give the gospel to, that's a fruit tree. Number two, you need to harvest the fruit. All the fruit trees, when they get old, they die. I don't know how many trees I've seen that we've had over the years, old fruit trees. Apple trees live a long time, but most others, they get old and they die. And you need to plant new fruit trees. Hey, if we weren't giving the gospel, this building would be empty. Think about it. If you never heard the gospel, you never got saved. Hey, I may be wrong. Maybe there's one. I don't know. But hopefully, by the end of this message, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will. And you'll become a fruit tree. So we need to harvest that fruit. If you don't harvest it, it's going to rot. A person's going to die and end up in hell if you don't give them the gospel. It's up to us to do it. And whether you have to bring someone to church or read them a tract, whatever it takes, just do it. Jesus didn't set a quota. He didn't give you a time limit. He just said, do it. Go into all the world and give the gospel. I'm not a missionary. But I give the gospel. I don't have a quota that I have to have. There is no quota. You just do it naturally. In your everyday walk of life is the way you should do it. And one of the ways that fruit trees get cut down is they get criticized, they get ostracized, they get immunized. And the fruit trees get cut down. And that's the way it happens. You know somebody who's a soul winner? Encourage them. Pray for them. Reward them. Sometimes a frost will come. This spring, we had a frost. We had a few little apples and I think one peach. Everything got killed in the frost. That frost is a picture of it's a picture of what can happen to a fruit tree, a person that's giving the gospel that stops doing it. There's some hindrance. There's something. You know, my favorite verse in the Bible is, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing will offend them. Somebody gets offended and they stop doing it. Hey, I've seen people do it, give the gospel faithfully, and then all of a sudden, I never see them again. They disappear. Something happened. There was a frost that killed the blossoms, that fruit was not being produced. Hey, but frost didn't come around every year. Most of the years, we have fruit. Hey, if you're not supporting, if you made a promise to God, a faith promise to God, to give, to support our missionaries, and you're not doing it, you're cutting down a fruit tree. If that missionary has the love and the desire to go and give the gospel in some foreign country, or even in our own country in some faraway place, we need to support them so that the fruit trees thrive. They need support. Hey, fruit trees need fertilizer. Fruit trees need to be pruned. Sometimes there's a dead branch. You need to cut it off. Sometimes there's something in your life that is hindering you. It needs to get pruned. It needs to be taken away so that you are fruitful. We had a friend, I lived down the road from us, and he planted a little orchard, maybe about 20 trees. Every spring he'd go in and he would prune the trees, and his trees had the biggest, most luscious apples on them. I had another friend down the street, and he planted 3 apple trees. And the apple trees were loaded with apples, and one day I stopped by and I said, how come you're not picking the apples? And he said, well, man, we have enough. We have more than we need. So they just fall off the tree. The deer come and eat them. And I went down. He said, if you want them, take them. I went down. I picked buckets of apples. The point is, there are people out there that need to hear the gospel. And you gotta give them the gospel. If it's on a piece of paper or if it's on a screen, it doesn't make any difference. They need to receive it. I just grew up around trees. I mean, you'd think I lived in the woods, but I don't. But nevertheless, I mean, we built tree houses. We climbed trees. We made swings on tree limbs. Trees are they're important, and so is, and so are, so are soul winners. The Bible says that a person who wins soul is wise. Now, if the person doesn't win soul, what does that mean? I don't know. Hey, listen, even when a fruit tree dies, the wood is good. They make spoons and forks out of pear wood. They use apple wood for smoking meat like kielbasa and sausage. God invented trees. And you know, the thing that, I don't know if it's ironic or not, but God invented the tree. And God died on a tree. And he didn't die on that tree for nothing. He died for you and me. And for all the people who never heard the gospel. I always said, just give God a reason why he should bless us. And if you want a reason to give God to bless you, just give the gospel. It's a natural, simple thing to do. And God has no choice but to bless you. He's not going to kill you if you go out and give the gospel. I make all these notes, and then I give them out of order. So I don't know where I am. But I know where I'm going. Sometimes I'm not sure which way I'm going, but I know where I'm going. I know where it ends. And it should be for all of us. And God made it that way. There's nothing haphazard. There's nothing haphazard about giving the gospel. There's nothing. It's simple. God made it that a little child can understand the gospel. Bruce and I and Anna and Sarah were out on Thursday night, and we gave the gospel to a lady, and she said she went to church, and I asked her a few questions. And I asked her the two questions, and she wasn't sure. And I said, "Do you want to know? Do you want to know for certain that you can go to heaven?" She said, "Yes." We're standing in the middle of the parking lot in front of the Dollar General. And by the way, the General told us we can't do that anymore. I don't believe it's the people who own the store. I believe it's the people who are managing that store. But they told us we can't do it anymore. They said, we don't want anybody soliciting. We're not. When you give the gospel, you're not soliciting. You're giving a free gift away. Amen. Anybody says to you, you're soliciting, I'm not soliciting. Now, when you give the gospel and you're on somebody else's property and they don't want you to do it, you need to get off their property. But there's no law that prevents you from going down the street, walking down the sidewalk, and sharing the gospel with anybody. And that isn't a guess, that is a fact. So what was I saying? Oh, so that lady, I gave her the gospel, and she prayed. She got saved. She could have walked right by, and Bruce is fantastic at doing this. He can break the ice. You know, I sometimes I think I'm too serious when I'm giving the gospel. But Bruce does it so easily that they want to get saved. He just says the right thing. God gave him a gift that is Everybody who is a soul winner at least one time needs to go soul winning with Bruce. I'm serious. It's important. He taught me so many things that it's unbelievable to me that that giving the gospel can be so easy and so much fun. I'll give you one example. I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not embarrassing him because he loves God. He loves to give the gospel. But he said to this one lady, he said, he walked over and we're standing there. And he said, "Would you get saved for me tonight? Would you get saved?" And the lady said, "Yeah, I would. I would get saved." And he said, "Joe, give her the gospel." And she did. We've been trying to get her here to church, but her little boy was sick, and I don't know. I was there to visit on Thursday night, but there was no one home. But that lady's going to come here. I know she is. She wants to be here. And you can tell. Hey, listen, some people, you give the gospel, and they just... they figure, okay, I'm going to listen to this guy. But listen, that's, you don't have to read that. All you have to do is give the gospel. That's all you have to do. Don't worry about if they're going to get saved or not. God determines that. We don't save anybody. You know, you hear that expression, "Well, I got somebody saved." No, you didn't get them saved. You gave them the message. God saved them. Give God the glory. Matthew is always faithful to give God the glory for all of the people who get saved. Hey, listen, do you know when you get saved, it's a miracle? It is a miracle. God changed. I've seen people that I never in my life would ever guess that they could ever get saved, and they're fruit trees. They're producing fruit. Thank God that I'm not the one who determines. God is the one who does. All I have to do is deliver the message. And God wants us to be fruit trees. I don't want to be like that tree. I want to be like this one. I don't know where this thing came from. But God just showed me that's the message we needed to hear today. That's a message I need to hear. I need to be reminded all the time. And God, you know, when God sent out his disciples, he sent them out two by two. It's always good to have somebody with you when you go out. I used to love to take these little guys out, the hall boys. I used to take them out. Christian Hall could recite the Ten Commandments word for word. And I would say to someone, "This little boy has memorized the Ten Commandments. Can he tell them to you?" And he's given them the Ten Commandments. This guy's getting convicted already. There's the Ten Commandments, right? And it just opened the door to be able to give the gospel. That little boy broke the ice. And that's when you need to take them out, is when they're young. I just want to see if I left anything out here. I think I covered everything. I'm going to ask you to pray in a few minutes. And what I'm going to ask you to do... instead of doing it in a prayer, I'm going to ask it now. If you're a fruit tree and you want to be more fruitful, or if you're not a fruit tree and you want to become one, today's the day to do it. You may be a fruit tree and you haven't produced any fruit in a long time. All you need to do today, I'm going to ask you if you would come forward or make a decision. If you can come forward, that's great. But make this decision that you are going to be a fruit tree and that you are going to produce fruit. I don't want to see any fruit trees cut down. I just want to see more trees being planted. Eddie Brent knows all about trees and what you have to do to get a tree to grow. And we need to make that decision today. If you're not a fruit tree, you can become one today.
Amen.
And if you are, you can be more fruitful starting today. Don't wait. Just do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just give you thanks, Father, for...